Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Promised Land, another Promised Land podcast about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. Scott and Rob back again. Rob, what was your reaction? I sat at Stamford Bridge last night just laughing throughout most of the game. I know people probably tearing their hair out of what we saw on the pitch. Other people maybe just sat there and took it in. Some people might have seen some positives in it. But we'll talk today about whatever the hell happened at Stamford Bridge. Rob's thoughts, my thoughts on it. And obviously, Liverpool sat around the corner on Sunday. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Hey, everyone. What are my thoughts on it? I think the funny thing is, Scott, I don't think my thoughts have changed much at all watching that last night. To me, it wasn't really anything different to what we've seen for weeks and months. Like, do you agree with that? Like, I think what we're seeing here is a Manchester United side that can run around and score the odd brilliant goal and have moments, but ultimately is not a real football team. They do not play real football, Scott. And kind of a bit confused this morning, some United fans thinking that the performance was really good because you scored three goals. And I know some football fans, just everything goes on and how many goals you put in the back of the net. But you gave four goals away to a really bad Chelsea team yesterday, and all four goals were preventable. And they were all about you, and they were all about your tactics. They were all about your setup, and they were all about how you deal with situations. So this has been going on since pre-season, Scott. It's now a whole season of it. And I do think that Erik ten Hag is staring something in the face that we all really didn't want him to be. We didn't want him to be in this position, and we wanted better performances. We wanted to see more than what we actually have. But the actual game itself, Scott, was as dysfunctional as Man United have been week after week after week. It was nothing new in it at all.
You ticked off Twitter by saying sacked in the morning. It's now the morning. He's not been sacked yet. But
no, that was more of a comical Twitter little jibe of, like, you know, you concede two goals in the 109th and 110th minute. Like, come on, you're playing for your job here. You're setting your team up to make sure you don't lose games horrifically. And Man United are conceding goals in a horrific manner. So that's why I said that. But I know some people on Twitter obviously can't take that, and it's in the moment. People are upset. But I think the whole thing is that, you know, you're Jim Ratcliffe watching that. What are you thinking?
And he was there. He was there.
Exactly. You're not thinking, oh, do you know what? I'm going to go give the manager a cuddle after the game and go, bad luck. Again, seeing some United fans say, it was bad luck. Was it? How can bad luck manifest itself in exactly the same way almost every week? How many times have Man United lost games like that this season, Scott? Or conceded goals really late like that this season? An amazing, astonishing amount. You've now conceded more goals than Everton this season, and you are 5 points off 10th. In the league. So compare it all we like, but it's not great.
United have conceded, I think it's 225 shots in 2024.
Yeah.
That is the highest number of any team in Europe's top five leagues.
Yeah. And that's scamming, isn't it?
Yeah. Erik ten Hag did say a few weeks ago it doesn't matter. we'll talk about this in a bit more depth. Mm-hmm. But as you say, Rob, there's a lot of things that we were seeing in week one and preseason, which are still happening. And
very much so.
I'm in the camp of, obviously, the players are at fault, and, like, obviously, you know, they have to make better decisions on the pitch. Mm. And Ten Hag said that himself. He said that repeatedly. I was at the game yesterday at his press conference as well, watched him. He looked a little bit beleaguered. I wrote a piece after the game for 90 Min as well, which you can potentially check out if you would like to. But most of that I'll cover on this podcast anyway. And it's just very, it's hard to justify. If you listen to this podcast for any amount of time, you probably stick to the back teeth of me saying, give him time, give him another season, give him another season. And I'm sorry, but as much as I would like that to happen, I can't put myself in the owner's shoes. I cannot see a solid reason currently why you wouldn't change. And it's really sad because I think Erik ten Hag is better than what we're seeing.
Totally.
But I just think that the club has been mismanaged to such a point that it's everything, literally everything. You need to rip it up and start again. I don't think you're going to turn a corner really until that happens. And hopefully with new owners and, you know, a new sporting project, that is what's going to happen. It should start in the summer. But just before I bring you back in, Rob, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple and Spotify for audio. Give us a 5-star review on there and watch us on YouTube as well. The Promised Land and Manchester United podcast. Like the stream, subscribe, leave a comment and pop the notification bell on so you never miss a show. Follow us on socials at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B and @TPLMUFC on X as well. Now, where do you want to start, Rob? Because I've just done some opening spiel, but you take the mantle for a bit.
Well, we can use the game, I think, again, as our barometer and our guidance as to kind of why things happened as they did, but why things are happening like this all the time with Man United. And I think, again, you look at the start of the game, Scott, and yeah, I was seeing every football team, wherever you go away on the road, especially when you go to big grounds, you get someone like Stamford Bridge, Scott, you've got to try for 20 minutes to kind of just set your stall out. That's all you got to do. You don't need to be fancy. You're not going there to try and score in the opening minutes. Just try and calm yourself down and get some control. And we absolutely know this Man United team cannot do that. Now, it might be like Erik ten Hag might have thought about this and gone, actually, my team can't do this, so we're just going to go and play hell for leather. But I don't actually think that's right either. I think as the manager and the coach, you've got to set your team up to do these things. So you're basically what? Within the blink of an eye, you're 2-0 down, aren't you? It's 2-0. And even then, I wasn't thinking, oh, United won't score or won't get back into this game. But it's all about how the game unfolds. So you get yourself back in, Scott. Some good goals, some good work. But you can't deny when you look at, say, goal one, again, in that moment, Dalot's positioning is wild at left back. And obviously, we'll talk about Dalot later on as well. But the ball comes across. And again, it's a shot into the middle of the goal that Andre Onana should be able to get something on. Just save it with your feet, maybe. But then you're 1-0 down. I don't know about you, Scott, but does it feel like we see that almost every week?
No, it does. I think that is the
thing whole outlier
to point out is... And that was kind of the theme of the piece that I wrote. So, like, so many bad habits, so many, like, poor traits that you see in this team that just show no signs of improvement. Mm. Now, you see goals conceded from cutbacks. There's compilation videos every couple of weeks which go around showing all of the cutback goals that United have conceded this season. You managed to do that within 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Every game looks like it's either basketball like it was for last night. It was literally basketball. And the reverse game against Chelsea was exactly the same, but United won. But Chelsea could have scored. They went on, ran through on goal twice, three times, like with two players, you know?
Yeah. They had 28 shots last night, which I think means it's 57 shots in two games. So it's like, I've never, as a Man United fan, someone who's followed this team for 40-odd years, seen that, where United conceding that many chances in games, Scott. Over and over again, repeatedly. Like, you cannot stop the bleeding. United are like bleeding to death in front of our eyes.
Among the bad habits that we see, goals conceded early in games, goals conceded late in games, like 90 plus 10 or whatever it was, 90 plus 11 as well. And just days before, they managed to score in 90 plus 6 and then concede at 90 plus 7 or 90 plus 8, literally five days before or whatever it was. That has been happening all season long. The basketball is a thing. It's either basketball or it's dominated. Or it's getting dominated by an inferior team and getting picked off. And there's just no real signs that anything's changing. I know Erik ten Hag will to put it down to personnel, but Ralph Rangnick called performances a bit Jekyll and Hyde, and that was 2 years ago. We're still seeing the same habits. As much as Ten Hag would like to see the players make better decisions, I mean, you've got to provide more than we're getting to have that chance. For me now, I think this is where I sit. And maybe they go and beat Liverpool. This team could potentially go and beat Liverpool. They're just mental. Mm. But also they could lose 5-0 to Liverpool.
Totally.
And I'd probably make that more likely, because the game against Liverpool just 2 weeks ago was basketball. And what United are doing with the system at the moment, whatever it is dragging teams down to this level of like, nah, there's no control in this. We're just going to go punch for punch. That's how it is. And, yeah. You know, when bad teams drag other teams down to their level, yeah, that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah. When a boxer fights, yeah, you don't say to them, just keep your hands by your sides, do you? You don't do that. You have to defend at least at some point. So I think the things with United, you're totally right. That's a really good way of putting it, is that United drag teams into that swamp, and good teams will figure it out and hurt you. So like in recent memories, I'll remember like the Fulham game being there, is that Fulham went, hang on a second, if they're just going to leave all that there, then we'll hurt them doing that. But, you know, we're not the best team in the world, but we can counter this. We can work on this. Whereas I think the Liverpool game and the Cup game is that Liverpool got caught in that mire of like, all right, let's give United a kick in here. We can do this because we can match them. Chelsea last night, Scott, did not play well at all, but they scored 4 goals. Now, if you don't play well and score 4 goals, there's something wrong. And I was reminded of all sorts of things, Scott, through the season. We think about the Champions League campaigns, a really good example here of what we're seeing now. Man United were the better team in pretty much all of those games in the Champions League and lost those games because they were doing what they're doing now. And that was months ago. Months ago, where you were just playing this open style, where you were giving away the midfield, where you weren't really being technical on the ball, and everything is about counter-attack, just to an extreme level of Ollie-ness. Like, it really does feel like watching Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's counter-attacking football. It doesn't feel like this guy who we brought in 2 years ago, who was a tactician, Scott. That's why we got him. Bring the team some tactics, bring them some purpose. We've sat here as well, Scott. We've said, personnel, that's fine. Yeah, bad teams normally have bad footballers. Those things correlate. But if you don't have the right tactics to do the job, you're going to lose games whichever way. And I think that's where we are with United now, is that, yeah, you're getting injuries, Scott, but I don't understand how he's setting this team up to go to Chelsea and think that this is a clever way to play football. It doesn't make any sense. And it's not good football, people. Like, come on. Like, if you watch football, this is not good football. This is crazed, manic football, which can be entertaining to the neutral. But if you're a Man United fan, you should not be entertained by what you're watching.
Well, it's not good football in the context of modern football. It might be a bit of a throwback to like when things were just like punch for punch a generation ago, you know? But like the football's evolved to a point where control is the absolute most essential thing on a football pitch, and like the best teams in the world, Manchester City, do that. They obsess over control. And as much as I love a counterattack, you know, that I think that's my kind of favorite, most satisfying thing, is to see like United, you know, the goals they scored at the Emirates in the Champions League, like that Ronaldo goal, those Rooney goals that they scored there. That is the kind of thing that I think is just, that's what I like. But obviously you need to see more control. You need, when you're at 90 plus 7 minutes and you don't have enough brain to just put your foot on the ball. They did it for a little period actually before they even conceded, but put your foot on the ball, run it into the corner, buy a foul. If you see a counterattack's come in, tactical foul, chop them down. Like they lost the ball one point.
Yeah,
just pick yellow cards. Like, even if it's your second, you know, you could probably justify it because you play so loose, you know, that just put them, like, if you're going to do it on the halfway line or just past the halfway line, just do it, you know? And you can maybe blame the players for that. But the fact that they are so often lacking in control from minute one through minute 110 or 101 or 105 or whatever it was, there's not enough redeemable features in what I'm seeing. No. And again, I'll say this. If I am in the owner's shoes and I am watching that, I probably think I can get somebody else to come in and put more control in on this team and make these players think a little bit more solidly when they're playing. And just one other thing before you pop in. So many lapses in concentration. a weak mentality, inability to defend set pieces. The Cole Palmer thing, oh, come on. Like the last goal. Just six players pointing at him.
Yeah, doing that.
Nobody taking ownership.
There's Cole Palmer over there, lads. Someone go and get him. It's like, yeah, why don't you go and get him? Why don't you go and mark him? It's like, but then we see that again every week, don't we? That is not new.
Yeah. And just a non-existent midfield. And I like the guy. I think Ten Hag, if he goes somewhere else, I think he might show kind of the things that he showed at Ajax. But I just think there's so much chaos. Maybe it's organized chaos. I don't know, but we should know after 2 years what it's meant to be. And yeah. I'm just saying, I can't sit here anymore and just in the face of criticism, just say, nah, he deserves more time. Because like last night, I just sat there laughing for most of it. I shouldn't be laughing, you know, laughing at the craziness.
I think you and me, Scott, have been really sympathetic towards Ten Hag through the whole of the season and for the whole tenure at Man United. And I know, like, you said in recent weeks and stuff about how you've been, like, you know, an advocate of Ten Hag going back over time and all of this, and, like, you've kind of ebbed away with it. If someone tweeted me last night when I put out the sacked in the morning tweet saying, all your mates not going to be happy, meaning you, thinking that, you're like also going, oh yeah, this is all right, what I'm watching. Like, you're not thinking that. I'm not thinking that. And I don't know anyone who's normal who's thinking that. All of this ends up being like a weird culture war of like, you have to either back the manager or sack the manager. And that's all you can think. There's nothing in the middle, but there's a lot in the middle here, Scott. And this is really the problem, is that when we deconstruct it, it's feeling very samey, isn't it? Like, as you said, that last 2 minutes is a real dichotomy of what Man United are, is that you manage the game quite well up to 90 minutes. And it's not even about switching off, Scott. It's about the culture of the team. And that is that there's no leadership on the football pitch ever on any given week. We don't have leaders. But then the leadership from the touchline has to be double as strong to be able to counteract that, to give instructions, to give method. And I don't think we see that either. We don't see it. We see it every week where there's a corner and they don't look organised. They haven't got a clue what they're doing. Or you get these moments there where you look at maybe the goal, the penalty for Chelsea. I think both penalties were soft, but I think they were fouls ultimately at the end of the day. I don't think VAR can overturn those penalties. But, you know, Delo's moment there of madness of like running back, he should just let the player go. Manu's covering. I think Bruno's covering. There's coverage there. He's beating you. Just don't get too close where you can get a touch and foul him. And then what does Delo go and do? He gets the ball. He tries to run the other end of the pitch and leaves left back open. And they score through that, coming back through that range and getting a corner. So I don't know, Scott. Like, it's... I do blame the players. I absolutely do blame the players, but I really don't think Man United have got any tactics. I really don't think that, when I say that, people are going to me, oh, but this is tactics, you know, counter-attacking football. No, it's not tactics that win you championships or get you in the top four. This is just kind of vibes football, entertainment football for the neutral. It's not proper football if you seriously want to go and get in the Champions League or you want to win titles. Now, I know we're still in the FA Cup, Scott, but I don't think it really matters anymore. I don't really doubt he could win that FA Cup, and I think it will be Van Gaal Mark II. I really do, because when Van Gaal lost his job, it was the same thing. It was like, has this manager just hit a brick wall tactically? Like United are stale, they're boring, they walk the ball out from the back. But Ten Hag was trying to implement his vision or his style of football. I don't get that about Ten Hag. I don't see that this is what Ten Hag has done in the past. This is like something he's decided now on the fly. And he's told his team to be this mad attacking team and just do that. Do that and see if we can win games. But man, I watch a lot of basketball. I really, really do. And it is just pure NBA. The whole thing is just transition backwards and forwards, a tennis match. But it's not, I don't think it's good to watch. I think it's actually, you know, I used the words too early on, Scott, and I'm going to use it again, tactically fraudulent. I really, really do. I don't think these tactics have any place in the modern game. And yeah, United used to be good at counter-attacking football, Scott, but they never did this as well. They didn't just let teams like smash them apart in midfield and defence so they could counter-attack. You know, Ronaldo and Rooney would run, but United would have a solid base there, to a back four and a midfield, and you'd have your runners. But this is something completely different.
It's funny because I won't give too much away, but two of my colleagues at work, Sean and Jude, are Tottenham fans.
Right.
And coming up is the anniversary of Spurs 3 Ajax 2.
Yes.
And the one thing that they told me, because they rewatched the game, the one thing they told me after that was Ten Hag cost them that. obviously, you know, I'm sure most people know the nature of how that Spurs magic night came about.
Yeah.
If that is a trait that is obvious in even Erik ten Hag's best teams, then, you know, is there any reason to suggest that this won't keep happening if he does stay in charge?
See, Scott, that's the way I'm leaning. That's the way I'm leaning exactly when I think about it and try and be salient and try and be balanced about it. I'm thinking you go buy a load of new players in the summer and they're better players than the ones you've got. And yeah, results improve. But are we going to really get the style of football, the philosophy of football that we need? And it is a need. Like, this is like blood in your body. You need this style of football to compete with the other teams at the very, very top. Is Erik ten Hag going to give that to us? And he's started to like unconvince me. I was totally convinced for like a year. And before he came to the club, I was like, no, he's a great coach. And I've seen this. And we did all the studies on his work and how he reverts from 4-2-3-1 to 4-3-3 and how he likes to play that and how he's done it for X amount of years. He's completely changed. And the Premier League tends to do this to lots of good coaches, Scott. They come to England with reputations, and the Premier League absolutely burn those reputations because you can't always implement everything you want. We mentioned Bielsa in previous weeks. I want to mention him again because it is this like die by the sword method where like Bielsa was like, well, do you know what? When we do get relegated or when we do lose 30 odd games and you sack me, I don't care because I'm still just going to do me. So I don't really care. I don't know if Erik ten Hag is the same as that, but I think Erik ten Hag's become convinced that the only way to win games is to do this and to win 4-3 or lose 4-3. But that is not what he's paid to do. That is not the job. The job is to bring calm and to bring acumen and to bring knowledge. And this looks like the most unintelligent Man United team I've ever seen, Scott. They really haven't got a clue about what they're supposed to do in any phase of play. From minute one to minute 90, they are a hot mess.
I didn't publish this, but I had in one of my early drafts of whatever that game was, the Battle of the Brainless, because it really was. It was just, it was crazy. And I'll stress this again. Chelsea are terrible.
Yeah,
Chelsea are bad, like really actively bad. And I don't know whether that to me, watching they invaded the pitch, you know, and at the end, Pochettino
celebrated like I've never. Pochettino did nothing in that game to win that game from the bench. Pochettino did no tactical changes. There was no magic. There was nothing there. And I think that's why at the end of the game he was like, "Oh my God, hallelujah! It's a miracle." A little bit like we were against Liverpool, weren't we?
That's the exact comparison. Yeah.
Hammond scores that goal, and we're like, "Oh my God!" And I'm thinking, bottle that, because we're going to dine out on that for the rest of the season, because what we're going to see after this is not going to be good. And that's exactly how it's panned out. And I think when you look at Pochettino, he did nothing in that game last night that was exceptional. It was just that United gave them four goals. If you give away four goals, you're probably going to lose, aren't you? It's just what it is. So, it's mind-boggling, Scott. It's mind-boggling that they're still doing this. But they do it whether it's a Brentford or whether it's a Chelsea, or whether it's a Fulham. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. This is what this version of Man United are. And this is Erik ten Hag's Manchester United. We can't get away from it. This is not Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Man United, or any previous manager. This is not the Glazers' Man United. This is Erik ten Hag's version of what the football club is in his head at the moment. As you said, you're the new owners, you're Jim Ratcliffe. You're not going to say, yeah, we'll spend $200-300 million on what you're doing because your ideas are really sound. You're going to look at it and say, we need a fresh start. And that is, I think, where you are. And I think, you know, this show today is tagline, is at the end of Erik ten Hag. And I felt it probably before Chelsea, Scott, like not last night. You know, I think he's tactically not done the job correctly in the last few weeks, the last few months. And there have been reasons for that. But I also don't think you can back a lame horse. Like, what's the point? There's no point just saying, because I like that horse, that's what I want to do. I think Man United probably could do better with a different coach and a different set of players and, yeah, get rid of half the squad as well. You know, bleed them all out, find a new way and have a new tactical identity, because the football club desperately needs it.
I can't do this like that quickly, but I was trying to look at how many times United have conceded three or more goals this season. They've lost 4-3 three times this year, this campaign. 4-3.
Have you ever remembered that?
Three times.
Do you remember the days when if we ever conceded two or three goals, we'd moan? Like, we'd conceded three goals, we'd be like, man, we've conceded three goals today, but we won 6-3. You know, but like, that doesn't happen anymore. United literally give the goals away. As I said, like, we could do a whole show on the Chelsea goals, and again, we could do an hour on it, and there's no point because it's just the same things that we've seen so many times. And I don't believe that we're going to see for the remaining six games of the season, only going into the FA Cup, that we're going to see a different style of football. Don't think United are suddenly going to lock down and say, well, you know, we can be a serious football team. All of this, Scott, I keep thinking, it's just that word, it's just that lack of seriousness. That's all I keep thinking. It's like, it's professional football, but it feels like you're watching two 12-year-olds play FIFA, where you kick the ball long and you run really hard and then you cross the ball in the box and someone maybe scores. But that's all right as a computer game. That's not good on a professional field of football. So I think Eric's had his chance, Scott, and you know, this dress rehearsal that these 6 months was, that's what I called it 6 months ago when obviously Ineos came to the party, was that you, for 6 months, you got to be really good just in terms of how you make your team play. I actually think they've got worse.
I mean, he's had to do something. He's had to either grind results or at least put in a base level of performance that I think everyone can get behind. And I don't think we've seen either. I've been very much in the camp of, there's so many injuries, it affects the way that they play. Yeah, it does. Of course it does. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, United aren't the only team with injuries. And if Erik ten Hag is going to bank on having to play his first choice 11, 65 games a season, that is not realistic. It's not going to happen. Yeah. And yeah, you need different players to rotate. The squad needs work. Absolutely, it does. But how realistic is it to expect that kind of thing? And how can you... How can I sit there now when I said just a couple of weeks ago that, right, the injuries are starting to clear. I know they've picked up more since, but now is the time. You got to pull something out and show that you, manager, should be in charge of this team at the start of next season.
Yeah, and like, we're not shock jocks, are we? Like, we're not saying it for effect. We're doing our best so badly to try and defend the manager throughout the season, aren't we? You know, we've tried our best to add balance to those debates, but you do get to a point, don't you, where you're just like, what we're watching and what we're witnessing now is the excuses all dry up, don't they? And you get to a point where you're like, well, is it better to change? Like, is the grass greener? And in football, it's really hard to not feel those things when things are fundamentally flawed, isn't it? When you're actually watching the team and you're like, what are you trying to do? What is the tactic there? How are you trying to move the ball from A to Z? How are you trying to retain possession? How are you trying to score goals but stop goals? There doesn't seem to be any plan at all, does there, Scott? It feels like he's lost his way massively. It feels like the manager is completely in the dark as to what he would like to see. But I also think, Scott, that this is the guidance he's given the team. I actually keep saying to the team, play like this. I really do. I don't think it's just the players going rogue and trying to manage themselves. I think that this is the setup. I think Bruno Fernandes all season long has been getting the ball off the back of the box and playing it long. All season long, hasn't he? I don't think Bruno just makes that up. I think he's told.
It was funny in the lead up to the first goal with Caicedo's mistake, that because I watched the highlights back this morning. Bruno sliced it up in the air, and then people cheered as in it was like it was going to trickle out. It stayed in, and Anthony like picked up the ball or something and lost it. And then obviously Caicedo's pass let Garnacho in, but the camera had like panned to Bruno. It was quite funny. Like the camera went in on Bruno after he sliced it because everyone thought it was going out of play. That's just like indicative of, he scored a nice goal as well.
Really good goal.
You know, really nice goal. And
that's why I want Bruno arriving late in the box as a 10. That's it. Nothing else. If you play Bruno in midfield, you're going to get bad Bruno. That's the way it is. Who picks him there, Scott? There's only one person that picks him there, isn't there? Like, I think that's the other side of it is as well, is again, a lot of the chat about injuries and how things are, is that even with the injuries and even with all the problems and everything that's gone about this season, he still has the opportunity to try different things, Scott. He's still got a fairly decent bench there from yesterday where he could go a certain amount, like say you're 3-2 up, I'm going to kill the game, you know. Let's kill the game, lads. There's never any of that from Man United. They don't know how to kill games. It's like it's not a thing. You know, they don't have it in their psyche. But they managed the game fairly well at chunks when they were leading last night, and it was quite nice to see.
Mason Mount particularly, he got a hell of a lot of stick, but he came on and he was like pretty sharp, you know, half
Mason
decent.
Mount's played...
More of a brain than most of them.
That's exactly what I was thinking last night. But I also thought in the other game when he came on and he was unlucky with the header, defensive header, I actually thought he's come on and looks like a serious footballer. Last night I was watching and think, actually, you look like a, like you don't look poisoned by this season. You look like you're trying to play normal football and you're being aggressive, but you're also being technical and you're doing those things in midfield that you want. So yeah, Erik ten Hag might be able to say, I've not had Mason Mount to be able to do that. So that's one of my reasons. But you've got players on your bench. You could change it around. You could go a little bit more defensive. You could bring on Amrabat. You could play a double pivot. You could do those things and keep problem players away from the problem parts of the pitch. Play Bruno high up the pitch where he's not going to hurt you in midfield. You know, you've got to look at it like that. You know, if you're going to play Rashford at times, don't allow Rashford to be in areas where you can just jog around. You need to zonally sort your team out so the team knows who is looking after what. And as we said, Scott, the final goal there with Cole Palmer. Again, Cole Palmer wins man of the match, gets a hat-trick. That's the cheapest hat-trick he'll ever get of his career. Really was. He didn't even play that well. People said in the first half he was really good. I thought he was all right. He was the best of a bad bunch. But he gets that goal, and no one wants to go and deal with him. And he's on the edge of the box. And there's, what, 12? I'm counting around. There's like 10 United players within 12 yards of him in that moment. And no one wants to deal with it. And then what? And even when the goal goes in, they don't react like, oh no, they just react like, oh, here we go again.
This again.
Yeah, it's like that face, poker face. So like you can see the way that they are suffering as well. But I think the setup is so bad, Scott. I just think they are set up so badly. And I think that you're at that point of change now where you're going, well, if you're going to change all these things like players, and you know, we talk about individuals all the time, if you're going to get out these individuals, you're going to go and buy new players, then I don't think this style of football is going to win you anything, even with new players. Like, it just isn't. If you're going to carry on doing this next year, even with players when they're fit and new players, this is not going to get you where you want to go. Just isn't. You're not going to compete for titles playing this kind of Russian roulette football. That's what it is, isn't it? It's gamble, 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 gamble. Sometimes you win, but quite often you lose.
It's funny because I was there and I was, I don't know whether I tweeted this or whether I sent it as a message or something, but.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it was a message I sent. I'm excited for Graham Potter.
No,
I'm not. Like, I'm not at all. It was sarcastic. But I thought the lack of control that United had,
yeah,
throughout that. Graham Potter's problem at Chelsea was that, and Brighton actually, was that they had a lot of control. They couldn't finish.
Yeah,
and I just thought, well, it seems like the most convenient marriage at this point. And like that might be depressing to people.
It
might be a little bit depressing. It is quite depressing, but
yeah,
unfortunately, like, we might be reaching a point like that. And I don't know, like, it's just like people will say, and I get this, oh, so you're saying the manager should replace him. Maybe we'll have to do a show like that in full in the near future, Rob. But you know, that is, Jim Ratcliffe has took over 25% of this club for a reason, and that's to make it successful. Dave Brailsford's there. Ashworth will be there. Berada is going to be there. Jason Wilcox will be there. And are they going to put their faith in this, you know? Or are they going to go to someone they know that's tried and trusted, that they've worked with before, that they feel might bring a little bit more control? Because like football nowadays is about control. Mm. Like, the reason why that game stuck out so much, I thought it was entertaining for the neutral. Like,
yeah,
but because it was basketball. Like, but that is not
That's why I watch basketball.
That's not modern football, you know. Yeah, exactly. It's not modern football.
No.
And that's why it sticks out like such a sore thumb. It was so unserious for both teams.
Kids football, kick and rush, go long, over the top. And I think this is the thing as well, Scott, is that when professional footballers in that environment make mistakes, I think that's why they make mistakes, because they kind of know that's not the way to play. They kind of know that the game needs to be played on the deck and needs to be played with some kind of calm. But United have those moments where you see it for like 5 or 10 minutes and you're like, oh, like last night, so getting to the end of the game, you're like, United have got some control. Mason Mount's come on and they're getting the ball in the corner flag and they're keeping it low and they're not going mad or anything like this. And they're not kind of defending too deep, being compact. That's really, really good. It's like players know that that's the innate thing to do in a football match. But the problem is, Scott, they're being set up to do what they're doing, which is causing the goals. You know, it really is. So it's a mixture of dysfunction, but also just the fact that I think that when you look at the wider game plan and how Man United are supposed to play or need to play, that isn't there. Those tactics are just not there. They're not hammered into the team. And I don't think Carrington's open. I don't think they're trained. I think all they're doing is a bit of running at Carrington to get fit, because there's nothing technical on a football pitch that you can see in patterns of play that this football team does week to week.
Right, so sorry, I feel a little bit exasperated. I haven't had much sleep. God help the, like, and this was one of the things, this is off topic, but I don't live too far away from Stamford Bridge. So it's not really too difficult for me. 8:15 kickoff time, I'm exhausted. Like, God,
I know
the traveling fans, like, it's awful, it's really awful. But what the fans will see next is Liverpool, and what they can't, United make the same mistake over and over again. You very much expect Liverpool to not make the same mistakes they made at Old Trafford twice. So we'll look ahead to this a little bit. But is this another one of those, Rob, where if he gets another miracle, then everything flips to, oh, this is amazing? Like, give him time. And
potentially, like, if you go and do Liverpool and you play really, really well, but it's what does playing really well mean? What does that little catchphrase mean? You know, like, beating Liverpool 4-3 in that last game was really entertaining. It was a worldie and something we'll always remember. But again, if you dig into the detail, United didn't play really well. They just did what they did well, and Liverpool did what they did badly. And that met up the fact that you won 4-3. Fantastic. Yeah, they're out the cup. You're into the next round. That's great. But the thing is, in the league, Scott, the league is your bread and butter, isn't it? You've got to do certain things in the league every week correctly. And there's no way they're going to do it against Liverpool correctly. It will either be a wild game of football, or Liverpool will have learned their lesson, Scott, and go, right, we're going to shut down the midfield. We're going to keep it tight. We're not going to allow United to play in transition. And we want to go and win a league championship. So we're going to come here and we're going to try and win 1-0, and that's it. Now, that would be the smart thing to do. Will Klopp do that? I'm not sure. He might well do that. But they are a serious football team, Liverpool. I say that to them in the nicest possible sense. Is that last night, when they were drawing the game at 1-0 with 15 minutes to go, there was never any doubt that they were going to go and win that game, because they're a serious football team. They know what they're doing. They go through their sets to win games and score goals and shut down opponents. Yesterday, I think against Sheffield United, you know, it is Sheffield United, you know, Liverpool had 82% possession. That's a serious football team. Yeah, Man United don't ever have anything like that, even against bad teams. So I don't know. I'm going to Old Trafford kind of just out of loyalty, really, just because I'm a United fan, I've got a season ticket holder. I don't really want to be there because I don't know what I'm going to see. And it does really feel like the end of day, Scott, for all of the previous managers, very similar scenarios where you go there and you think, I'm here today, but it doesn't feel good. Like, none of this actually feels good. And I don't have the confidence in the players that the players themselves know what they're supposed to be doing. I think we've got to that level now where it's just wild. To me, Man United, the two players at the moment, Scott, Kobbie Mainoo and Alejandro Garnacho, they're like the heart and soul of the team. And then a few others, you know, Hoyland, whatever. But the rest of them, I don't really understand what they are anymore. Do you know what I mean? I've always known that in the past. I think someone said last night as well that 65% of this team in the squad have never played under any other manager except Erik ten Hag. So, you know, we quite often say, oh, these are like Ole's players, these are Jose's players, blah, 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 blah. We say it a lot. Yeah, well, 65% of this team, this squad, is this manager's squad with a few extra added on from previous regimes.
65%?
So this is Erik's team.
That's quite a bit.
65% when you look at it going all the way through. So I'm guessing you include kids in that as well, because the thing about right. I mean, you look at someone like Cobby or Garnacho, you know, they've only ever played really under one manager, being honest, you know what I mean? And then you look at the signings and all of that. So that's a lot, but it's also enough to formulate a style of football. Yeah. And it's also enough to be able to look backwards and go, well, this isn't about Solskjaer. This is not about Mourinho. This is not about Van Gaal. It's about this, what's happening in the last 12 months. And I would say this, you know, a year in football is like a light year. It's a really long time. And I think in this year of football at Man United, we've seen United become progressively worse tactically. And that is not just about injuries. You said it earlier on. I just want to make this comparison one more time, is that Newcastle are in a similar spot to Man United. You know, they're kind of 10th and similar points total, similar issues with injuries. But I can predict every game how Newcastle are going to play. I watch Newcastle for work, and I know how they're going to set up, even when they bring in their fringe players, even when they bring in the Andersons of the world and the Murphys. You know how they're going to play football. I haven't got a clue how United are going to play, even when we've got our best team out there. 4-1-4-1, Scott, and something, something, something. That's what we are, isn't it? So, yeah, the Liverpool game's a little bit worrying, but I think it's already decided. I really do. I don't think that Ineos are going to back this manager with money next year. I think they've already looked at it and they think, right, we can probably get someone else. Because that's always the turning wheel of football, Scott, isn't it? Is that there's always someone else. There's always another manager. There's always another coach. There's always the next step. And with United for 10 years, we've been part of that kind of toxic cycle of rinse and repeat. But you do get to a point where it's like, well, what do you do now? What do you do with this manager? Just go, yeah, carry on doing what you're doing. Like, he can't. There's no way that technically he can carry on doing what he's doing next season with this set of tactics. So, unfortunately, yeah, don't be careful what you wish for. You might end up with a manager you don't want. But like you just said about Graham Potter there, it's like, if you sack Ten Hag early, do you just bring in Potter as the interim and do it?
I don't think they sack him early. I
don't think they will.
I think he gets the rest of the season. And I think it's only fair that he does. But that might mean United come eighth.
You know, I don't think it matters where we come now. Like, I've said all
season long. I just don't want them to come. Conference League. No, don't. No.
Please. No, thanks. just come 10th and be done with it. Because you are a mid-table team. That's the way I look at it. When you look at all the metrics, you are not better than a mid-table team. That's what you are. It's who you are. And you play like that. And your statistics show that. So, yeah, you're a bit higher than that in the league. But is it luck or judgment? I don't know. Like, you look at how things are. Are United really that much better or worse than Chelsea? I don't think so. I think very, very similar projects. You know, billion.
Well, Chelsea
pounds
could be within a few points of. If United lose this weekend, Chelsea have a game in hand, and yeah, they play Sheffield United next. And then United have got to play Sheffield United as well. But it's they could be quite close. And like however bad Chelsea have been this season, that they have a decent run in.
Yeah,
you know, so they could close that gap even more. Yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, the important, you say it doesn't really matter how much or where United finish. I think I'm at that point as well, where I think we've not had one or the other. We've not had the performances. We've not had the rise up the table. United have had multiple chances to close on the top four, top five. And last night was another chance to close on top four, top five. Mm-hmm. And they failed it again. And you know, they've let so many opportunities slip through their fingers this season. They are bound to come sixth or lower. And you just, every time you get a big win or you build up a head of steam and you have a massive moment like you had against Liverpool. And honestly, like, I'm not even saying that can't happen again on Sunday, because this team's,
of course, good.
They're mental. Sorry, it's just crazy what I'm seeing. So I can't rule that out, but I also can't rule out that they won't get smashed and lose 5-0. And, you know,
and was it interesting as well, like in that game last night, Scott, like you scored the goal, so you should have won the game 3-2. That's really where, when you got to it, when you got to that point at 3-2, you should see it out and win the game. But it's interesting, isn't it? That again, not 1 minute for Ahmad. So your guy who's your saviour against Liverpool, who, and Ten Hag comes out and says, oh, the boy deserves more minutes. He's been great in training and all this. He got his moment. Really happy for him. Doesn't get a minute. So, like, I'm not saying that's the reason why you lost the game. Like, totally not. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there are options. And Ten Hag likes to go with the certain option, doesn't he? Again, you knew at some point McTominay was coming on to come and do McTominay things to close out a game because that's all the manager has got. That's all he does. It's the same thing over and over again. Rinse and repeat. So, I don't know. Look, I think one thing you absolutely need going into next season is that if you're not in the Champions League, as you said, pray not in the Conference League or anything like that, I actually think reduced games is a really good thing for a squad.
I've always thought that.
I'm like, if you have failed to the point where you have to sack your manager, then let's not pretend that you've got the back door into Europe or whatever. Like, I've seen people say that to me, go, oh, if United in Europa next year, it'll be all right. Because I'm not interested, to be honest. I don't want to be in the Europa League. I want to be in the Champions League or nothing. That's the way I look at it. And Europa League doesn't mean anything to me until you get to the final. That's how I've always said it. So might be a snotty Man United opinion that, but that's how I look at it. But I think if you want to be in the Champions League, it's better to be able to consolidate and have less games so you can work on the training pitch. And
Tottenham did a good example of that this season.
Huh?
Tottenham.
Brilliant example. Brilliant example this year. And Tottenham, Scott, they're nowhere near the finished article, yeah? But they're like 9 points ahead of us now, something like that, 8 or 9 points. So I think it does matter, both also in your legs, you know, in terms of tiredness, gives you a little bit of extra rest in between games. One game a week, I think, is a good thing for a developing squad. But unfortunately, we are at this point now where I would expect that we see not an influx of players in the summer, but I do think players will leave. I do think there'll be new signings, and you have to look at it and say to yourself, right, if you're not in Europe, let's just say, take that hypothetical, but if you're not in Europe, how do you, on day one, on pre-season, going into the first game of the season, how do you get the team ready? What is the philosophy? How do you want your team to play? And whoever the manager is, whether it's Graham Potter, Gareth Southgate, I laugh, you know, Eric Ten Hag, whoever that manager is, that work has to be done in advance. You know, Nagelsmann, you know, you have to find a way to be able to, whoever the coach is, to put the foundations in place, because you know what? When there's a little bit of wind, the building falls down if there's no foundations. And that's where United are. It feels like this team doesn't have any tactical foundations at all. It's just this mad kick and rush version. And that's why I think the players look like beaten and battered, Scott, as well. Like at the end of games, they look like, it's like, I described it last night, EastEnders on Christmas Day. It's just drama, drama, drama. That's all they've got. It's just drama, 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 not serious football. Football game should be, Scott, you turn up, you play a bit of football and you win and you go home. That's it. And that's how it should be every single week. But Man United are the complete opposite.
Yeah, I mean, just to finish up, we'll wrap it in just a little while. But if United don't get Europe, and I've said this a few times, like, I don't wish that kind of pressure on my team. But I think that there has to be a time where you cannot take that income for granted. There needs to be a squeeze. There needs to be a forced reset.
Yeah.
And I feel like not having that revenue will force United to make some decisions that they should have made a long time ago.
Definitely.
On contracts, on taking lower transfer fees for some players to get them out. And if you have that wiggle room with Champions League revenue, which they're not going to get now, they're not going to get it for your own PSR, FFP, standing, you're going to need to trim and just bring in some, like, you know, talented players who don't cost a lot of money with a lot of upside, low profile, and just go about your business, you know?
Yeah.
And we need to just, I feel like in the long run, as difficult as it might be to work that way, there's so many players in this team that need to leave. Martial, I haven't seen him for months. 250k a week.
Who is he?
And yeah, you got Rafa Varane, plays 45 minutes max and gets injured. Johnny Evans is 36. I love Johnny Evans, but come on. You know, United have now one fit senior defender, central defender. One.
Yeah.
You need to, these players who are so injury prone, they need to shift them on. You need to cut your wage bill. you need to bring players in that you can depend on. And I think, as you said, Rob, fewer games might actually, for a season at least, just help United reset a little bit more than what they would if they had the leeway of the revenue that came with Champions League.
Yeah, it allows you to look in the mirror and be a little bit more clear and have some clarity around what you're looking at. You know, what are we supposed to be? Well, you want to be a Champions League team and you need to go do the work. That you need to go to Carrington and actually do the tactical work and put it on a football pitch. You just said there, like, you know, comparing the players and all of this. And I think all these issues kind of all splice into one. I remember when Johnny Evans was training with the kids during pre-season, I said, he's definitely worth the contract, because if you do need someone like him, and he's 36, he's got experience, but you completely know that if you're playing him more than, say, six games a season, that there's something not right there. And I think this has been a choice of Erik ten Hag's. And again, this is why the criticism lays at the door of the manager. We've had this revolving injury crisis in the defensive line, haven't we? Is that you've got a player called Willy Kambwala, yeah? And I'm not saying that Kambwala's the next big thing or anything like that, but he absolutely should have been, for weeks and months, been getting more minutes than he has. So you're at this stage now, so he's ready to play more minutes in exactly the same way you've done it with Kobbie Manu, exactly the same way. It's the same method with young players. You give them minutes, you manage them properly, you give them time on a football pitch, and they learn whatever the tactics are to be able to get into the team and push themselves forward. You just said they're going into next season. If you say you're not in the Champions League, you've lost that revenue in Europe. This is exactly the Man United they're going to have to be. They're going to have to be that Man United. You're going to have to go, we haven't got 50 million to go and buy another defender now because we're out the Champions League. So we need to, first of all, cut our cloth accordingly. So big wage earners out the door. Saw last night with Casemiro. I thought he played all right in the second half, but he can't run, Scott. He's like a 75-year-old nana running around in midfield. Like, he hasn't got a clue. Like, he really hasn't. He's lost. He's finished. But then you look at when you bring on your subs, Marcus Rashford's on 350 grand a week. We've said nothing much about Rashford today, but I would absolutely sell him, because at 350 grand a week, he's not value. That's it. I don't care whether I like Rashford or not. I'm making a business decision there. So this is where you are, I think, in the summer, is that you're going to see maybe United do things that they're not being used to doing. Like, they might look at Scott McTominay and say, right, Scotty, you're not a problem on the wage. So, you know, the wage bill. So we were actually going to retain you. But if they didn't give him a new contract, Scott, at 150 a week, then I'm not down with that. I'm like, hang on a second. That's not what we're trying to do here. I would rather that you bring back Dan Gore and just say, right, you're going to play and we're going to blood you. And if we lose games with kids, that's fine. So losing games with senior pros like this is not fine. That's the way it goes at the end of the day. So there is that balancing act. So it's a wait and see, it, Scott. But I do think that this is the end of this project. And again, a couple of people said to me, oh, you describe it as project. That's the wrong way to describe it. Unfortunately, that's the way football describes it. That's the way you go and talk to anyone at football clubs. They talk in project terms. And projects only have an infinite amount of time. You know, limited. They're not infinite, sorry. And you kind of come in as finite and you look at it and you might get a year or two to be able to show what you can do as a manager. But this is the end of year two for Erik now. And I think things are worse now than they were a year ago and even 18 months ago. And they're verging on as bad as the day he turned up, if not worse. Like, the team is not playing good football, is it?
Well, there has been a project, and Erik ten Hag came in, and that was a John Murta, Richard Arnold, Erik ten Hag project.
Yeah.
We're now embarking on a different project.
Completely.
And as we said in this pod, and as I think, and as I've now seem to have decided, Ten Hag had a spell to prove that he was worth being part of that project. And unless things take a drastic turn, which I don't think they will, you know, we've not seen enough. And it's sad, because I like the guy. I feel like he's had a raw deal. But again, just to top off, if you're in the owner's shoes, are you seeing enough to be convinced that it's not worth making the change when you're taking over? And if these mistakes happen next season, that will reflect on your ownership. And it's probably a risk that they won't take.
No, and that whole risk and reward thing, isn't it? It's like, you're totally right there. Like, I think they'll look at it and they'll say, what happens if we get six games into the season and we're seeing all this still next year? Like, we've just spent the whole summer buying players for this coach, because this coach has told us how he wants to do things. But yet when you put it out on a football pitch, you're a mediocre Premier League team at best. So this is why you are where you are. And I think Jim Ratcliffe, you cannot criticize Ineos that if Ineos go, no, we want our own guy in. And we've said it even at board level, isn't it? Like Richard Arnold, the same thing's kind of applied with Arnold, Murto and Ten Hag, is that if you are failing within your role, there's every chance that you won't be in your role next season. It's just, it's the way it goes in football. That is the way the turnover works. And I think with Eric, like you said there, I like him. I've always liked him. And it would be a kind of, you know, if he left the football club, it would be with a sigh and a hug and say, you know, good luck in the future. Like, there's no bad feelings or anything like that. I don't feel bad about Erik ten Hag or anything like that at all. I think we've backed him as much as we honestly, humanly can. But I think we've got to a point now in the season where even if you go beat Liverpool 5-0 in the next game, you know what you're going to see in the weeks ahead or next season, don't you, Scott? Like, we've seen enough. We've seen enough of what Manchester United are under this coach. So, unfortunately, it will be a new coach next season. I think that's just where we stand now.
Let us know your thoughts. I know that's not a universally agreed on opinion.
And it never will be.
I understand the reasons why. I completely get it. But I think each of us have our own point of, you know, tolerance.
Yeah.
And I think maybe just being there and watching it up close and just watching how I was there laughing to myself for a lot of it. And I can't remember whether I said this on the stream itself. I can't remember whether I said this or I think I haven't said it on stream yet. I wrote a piece for the site last night, but I couldn't start it until it finished because I had an idea, but I knew that something would happen at the end.
We were messaging with each
would
other,
make me
we?
Have to rewrite it. So I didn't start it, and I was right. So
we were messaging each other, and you were like, oh, that's a good idea for a piece. Oh, that's a good idea for a piece. And then we was a bit like, actually, might be different in 10 minutes. How are you supposed to be an editor or a writer in this environment? It's like completely mad, isn't it? Because as soon as you write something, it's almost like obsolete within 10 minutes.
I just thought, because there was other people that were that worked for different media, and obviously they have to file something in a certain point. I think we have the freedom because we have other stuff going out, so I had a bit more time. But, you know, I was like, I'm not putting myself through the stress of writing something to delete it.
Rewrite.
Or change
rewrite.
It. And because I knew in my... I knew deep down that something would happen because I've seen it so many times before. And that's why it's funny. You know, you can get down in the dumps about like what you're seeing, but like, honestly, just it's football, right?
Don't get too high, don't get too low and all of that. And it's like, the thing is, you could just get to the whole point where you just go, well, it's just a sport. It's just football. But in the moment, we feel it more than that, don't we? That's why we're invested in it. That's why we're all emotionally invested. And that's also why I'm not always 1,000,000% always hard on the players, because I think they feel it as well. I think they come off that football pitch and they will feel wrecked. Well, some of them will, not every one of them. Maybe some care more than others. That's for another show. But I think when you kind of look at it, the tail of the tape, that you can't predict how they're going to carry themselves in any one game. One game that could be great, one game that could be bad. But I think that swing now towards bad, Scott, is kind of too obvious. And I think that's just how it goes at the end of every reign. If you look at all of the managers Man United have had, and with Ole, you know, I'm not saying last night was his Watford moment, yeah, for Erik ten Hag, but it gets to the point where you're just like, culturally, this football team is crushed. Like, they don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And the manager's having no impact. And I mean, when you get to that point and you've got a new owner literally watching it, loads of shots today of Jim Ratcliffe looking to the skies when the fourth goal goes in, going, what am I watching? Well, he's a billionaire. I'm telling you, he'll make changes. He's not going to say, well, I'm going to just sit on my hands and let this happen, because his job now, Scott, is to formulate a win in Manchester United. And for me, Scott, the minimum every week is competence. Yeah, and I would say for 75% of the games this season, Man United have been incompetent in games. And we've run out of hope with it. We kind of look at it and go, well, we've seen enough now.
Competence, decisiveness, I think, is the vibe that I get from Jim as well. So we'll see what happens.
But, massively.
I've had enough of bad habits in basketball. And it's just it's too much. But yeah, let us know what you think, everyone.
Very toxic.
Get in the comments. Get to myself and Rob on X. At @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, @TPLMUFC on X as well. And whether you agree with what we said or you don't, please like the stream, subscribe on YouTube, and subscribe on Apple and Spotify. We're there as well if you just want audio, 5-star reviews, etc., etc. Please, if you would like to, as we say, leave a comment, subscribe everywhere, and pop the notification bell on so you don't miss a show. And we'll be back. You'll be at the Liverpool game, Rob, so I think we'll be back maybe Monday. God. And I might be in a different studio because we've installed a new studio at Nightingale Towers now, so that's a nice little change. Nice. But well, whatever can we expect next? I don't know. But until next time, Rob, thanks again. I've got to shoot off to go and now talk to some fans of other clubs who will no doubt just point their finger down the screen and laugh at me, which is just great fun. Anyway, until next time, everyone, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Get in touch with us and we'll see you soon for another Promised Land podcast. Have a great weekend.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.